Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
They may not want to hear this, but you have to read. What I mean by read, you have to take it upon yourself and know what power you have. You're an American citizen, all right? You are protected by laws, and they, which I mean they, the credit reporting agencies and the CFPB, is governed by laws. So back in 2014, people do not know that there was an FTC study conducted, and it said 1 out of 5 Americans have at least one error across their trimer's reports. 1 out of 5 Americans, that's about 100 million Americans back in 2014. Imagine now, right? Way more. So you have to go in with confidence.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today, is a very special day because our guest today is a father, husband, mentor, entrepreneur, investor, coach, public speaker, industry leader, and personal credit specialist extraordinaire. He's the CEO of Approve Repair, a company responsible for serving thousands of consumers and business owners from all across the country and making achieving financial freedom easier than it's ever been. And whether he's providing you with the blueprint on how to get items like late payments, charge-offs, and collections deleted from your credit report, or providing you the secret sauce on how to leverage your credit to unlock financial opportunities for you and yours, his mission remains the same: to give you the systems, the secret, and the strategy needed to make the game of credit easier than it's ever been. And today, he's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from Hartford, Connecticut, by way of Temecula, California, I'm here with the one, the only, my good friend, Mr. Joshua Rico. What's going on, family? How are you?
What's good, baby? We're here.
We are here.
Part two. Now, you told me.
Talk to me.
From your words.
Yes, sir.
There's few people.
Yes, sir.
Right? That the audience, right, asked for to come return.
Yep. You are top that list. Said. I said you are top. One of the first times where I literally had people clawing down in my DMs like, we need a part two. We need a part two. Well, what about this? And I have a question about this. And I'm like, yo, y'all messaging me. Y'all got to message the man himself.
Yeah. And they do. Right. They do.
So
thanks to you. But like, look, we're here to bless the people.
We are here to bless the people.
And, you know, let's just give them the sauce.
Let's give them the sauce.
I'm about to tear it up, baby.
Let's do it, bro. I'm excited to have you. I'm very excited for this episode because the first one was incredible. And I know this one is going to be just as, if not even more impactful. Mm-hmm. I know I'm familiar with you, but there are some individuals who, unfortunately, right now, this is their first time learning about you. So for those who are unfamiliar, let's get them familiar. Who exactly is Joshua Rico?
Joshua Rico. Well, like I said, I'm a son of a Cuban immigrant. My mom's from Brooklyn, New York, Puerto Rican, Cuban and Puerto Rican. You know, the Caribbean. You know how it is. You're Haitian, too.
Yeah.
You know, side note, look, I just left California.
Mm-hmm.
It is brick, brick out here.
It's terrible.
You know?
It's garbage.
You know, I remember back in the days, you know, when I used to, you know, live with bad credit in my family's house, Connecticut, it's like we used to have to open the oven to heat the house.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't miss shaving ice off the windshield.
Bro, terrible time.
But like, you know, so when I was on over here, you know, how the Caribbean parents be like, God is your pilot and everything like that. You know, but Caribbean parents, we get really into God and prayers, right?
100%.
Tell me how your parents be the same.
100%, from top to bottom. Waking us up at 5 o'clock
in the morning.
5 o'clock in the morning, running prayers from 5 to like 6 a.m. nonstop. Just prayer and praise and worship nonstop.
They'd be like, the devil is not welcome here.
All the time, bro. All the time.
But my bad. Me and Marvin know each other off air. But look, who's Joshua Rico? Look, son of a Cuban immigrant. Puerto Rican mom, you know, born and raised in Brooklyn, moved to Connecticut, right? Just a father and a husband, like you said, and just a credit repair extra, how do you say it?
Extraordinaire.
Extraordinaire.
Yeah.
I be getting on them like that. But look, I'm just here to help the people, right? If you don't know me, just research right here, Joshua Rico on YouTube. But I want to get into it, man. I want to get into it, the sauce.
Okay. All soon. Right.
Who is Josh Arica? Like I said, I own one of the most successful credit repair companies and funding companies there is out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really on a mission to help people change their lives through credit.
How talk to a little bit about what was your introduction to the credit and credit repair space?
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay. So back in 2009, I was a victim of identity theft while I was serving in Iraq. Mm-hmm. I'm a Marine Corps veteran. One of my own blood family members took $6,000 out of my bank account and it plummeted my score to the 500s. Mm. Right. But I was on a pump. We call it deployments pumps. I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Right. I wasn't thinking about that. I was in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Right. So when I came back home from the pump, I tried to apply for cars, apartments, denied for the apartments. Car would be 18% APR. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not good, people.
At all.
Yeah, right. And I thought I had a Mustang. It was the basic model at 18%, but it wasn't it. I was financial illiterate. Mm-hmm. All right. I felt dumb. I felt vulnerable. And I don't like feeling that. So I took it upon myself to, you know, invest into mentorships, spend over $50,000. And I'm still investing to myself.
Right.
I'm sure you are too.
All the time.
In education in this sector, in the financial literacy sector, to where it's like, you know, to advance so I could pass down the knowledge to my kids. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, I have Section 8 rental properties, leveraging credit. I have over 1,000 people that we service in the credit repair industry, and then, you know, mentors to others as well. So credit just changed my life, and as yours probably as well too.
100%. What do you feel like you got to a point in the credit space where because obviously your intro to the space, I'm sure, wasn't sunshine and rainbows. Where do you feel like things finally started to click for you and just your understanding of credit and credit repair?
When I had to go through my problem and fix my problem. Mm. You know, I think you learn with experience, right? You ever heard the saying, oh, you learn how to swim when you throw them in the ocean,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't read about how to swim and know how to swim. You gotta try it.
Right.
So I think trial and error on my own, you know, mishaps. Mm-hmm. And then when I fixed myself, I would fix my family and friends. Mm. So I was doing this pre-COVID. Mm. I was doing this back in like 2017, 2018, mm-hmm. right? And funny enough, the way I started was through MS, manufacturer spending, because I invested into Ty Lopez's, you know, back in, I did SMMA, I did MLM, I did wholesaling real estate. Mm. Phone flipping on it, like, but all those taught me a certain skill, how to build a team,
right,
with an MLM, how to have mindset, personal development,
right,
you know, the purchase price of high and low, all of those taught me a certain thing. But I always took an interest to credit, right. So one day, I saw a commercial, and this is a gem too. I saw a commercial on Larry King Live.
Okay,
there was a book called The Credit Secrets book. I'm letting the hat out of the bag. This is where I learned credit repair. This was like back in the day, this was like the Bible. And for those who know true credit repair, back in the day, there's a name that rings bells in the industry, especially in CreditCon, which I advise the audience to go to. But his name is John Olzheimer. Okay.
I think on an older white dude.
With gray hair.
Yeah.
He used to work at Equifax. All right. But he was on a commercial with Larry King Live, and he was promoting that book. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I need that book because I want to know how to fix my own credit.
Yeah.
So I got into that community, and then what I learned was like, okay, because I had a late payment with Web Bank Finger Hut. But it wasn't mine. It was identity theft.
Okay, got you.
And we're going to talk about identity theft later.
We are.
All right? But the thing was, is like, I got that removed and my credit score skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, this is life changing. So I did it for my brother. He had a collection on there that was Verizon or something like that. I told him, send this letter from the book and then everything like that. He sent it. He's like, oh my God, it worked in less than 30 days, you know? And, you know, back in the day, it was way easier before COVID. You just send one letter and everything would be off.
That's it, bro.
Now it's more complicated.
Right.
That's why I'm here.
100%.
And that's
another reason why I want to rank, because you and I are both seeing it. There are so many changes that are happening in the space to where it's not as easy as it once was to get credit reports clean. But I got the man, the myth, the legend himself sitting across from me to break down the game. So I want to be able to talk about it. Let's dive into it. There are people who are watching this right now that are trying to restore their credit themselves. and they just haven't had the amount of success that they would like to, right? They feel like they're getting hit with stall letter after stall letter. Things aren't coming off. They don't know if they're sending the right stuff. There's all these questions that they ask me. I'm like, you got to go to Josh.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let me go ahead and bring this man back and ask him himself. So I'll ask you this. For somebody who's starting and their credit is shot, they have every negative item that you could think of on, under the sun on their report, what are some of the first steps that they need to take to start getting their credit report back in good standing so they can actually start leveraging it towards the things that they want?
They may not want to hear this, but you have to read. What I mean by read, you have to take it upon yourself and know what power you have. You're an American citizen, all right? You are protected by laws. And they, which I mean they, the credit reporting agencies and the consumer, the CFPB, is governed by laws. So back in 2014, people do not know that there was an FTC study conducted, and it said one out of five Americans have at least one error across their trimer's reports. One out of five Americans, that's about 100 million Americans. Back in 2014, imagine now, right?
Yeah.
Way more. So you have to go in with confidence. And the confidence you're going in with disputing is basically saying, I know you, the government messed up, right? Or not even the government. I know the credit reporting agencies messed up on my report. You can go, you can dispute with confidence, right? So that's getting educated on what happened in the credit world. Now, let's bring it back. There's two books and or, you know, codes I would tell them to get familiar with, which is 15 U.S.C. 1681, the FCRA, Fair Credit Reporting Act, and the FDCPA, Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, 15 U.S.C. 1692. All right. Download those. You can get them off the FTC Gov website, YouTube them, or, you know, go to Google, download that and read it. If they actually read it, they'd be like, oh, wow, this wait, everything on the report should be 100% accurate. Oh, wow, this is not 100% accurate. So you can use and leverage that law. Now, credit repair is changing, though.
100%.
And the reason why I'm here is to bring updated information to the consumers. And let's be honest, even though we both know credit repair is an overnight process, right? Credit repair or credit building fund is not an overnight process.
Right.
Right? So to get it, you have to immerse yourself into the credit world. Now, there's 100 ways to skin a cat, right? They say, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. But I'm here to say, don't nobody have more video testimonials than me. All right? So listen to what I say. All right?
Talk to me.
All right? So I obviously, you got to pull the report. All right? You cannot fix your credit report without pulling your report. That's why I say, hey, credit monitoring is essential. Okay. Not only for pulling your report, but for identity theft. Had I had that back then, I would have been great.
Right.
Right. I would have caught the identity theft. But you have to track and manage what you measure, right? You be in the gym, right? You be writing it down, 2 pounds. Right?
100%
But like, you know, but like you have to track what you measure. So pull your reports, and then what I like to do is I like to freeze and opt out and even dispute the secondary bureaus.
Okay.
All right. All right. And then I fix the personal information. Why? The personal information is, let's back up, the secondary reporting agencies, like LexisNexis, SageStream, Craig O'Corlett, et cetera. That's where they house your background information.
Yeah.
You're going there for security clearance. You're getting life insurance. You know, if that thing is paused or frozen, you can't, they'll be like, oh, let's stop. You know, Frontier, I try to get an account with Frontier Communications. I have that opted out. It's like, it seems like there's a lock on your stuff. I'm like, hold on, let me lift it up. But what I'm saying is everything is housed there.
Yeah, yeah.
And verified through there. So I like to cross my T's and dot my I's. Other people say that you don't have to do that. But I just, and what I'm taught from the old school, right? Then I go to personal information. Personal information, you know, one name, one address, no employers, etc. Right? Why though? Because you're fighting something called the eOSCAR system. They've been on AI way before us, right?
Facts.
So what I'm saying is, all right, your goal is to knock the eOSCAR system off track. All right, what do I mean by that? Okay, when you were married with this name, when, you know, you lived at this apartment, etc., and you applied for this account that is now in collections, right? That's all attached. That has a backdoor number ID attached to it. So even though people say, hey, you don't have to do the personal information, I like to do it to get items deleted fast, if it's feasible, mm-hmm. right? So the goal should be one name, one address, no employers, no co-spouse, etc. Clean up the personal information. What you can actually do is this. I'm going to give them actual steps.
Let's do it.
Go to your Experian desktop, right, or iPad, right? Go to the desktop version, and when you're logged in, scroll down to where it says Help Center, all right? Help Center, you're going to press the File Dispute, and when you file the dispute, it's going to say a purple button to where it says Start a New Dispute. You start a new dispute. Now, there's going to be a pop-up button sometimes to where it says, do you want to waive the rights or et cetera? A lot of people who sue are against this. Mm. Why? Because they want a paper trail. Me, I want to get the items deleted as fast as possible.
Right.
A side note, we don't send any letters in our company.
We were talking about that for years, actually. Wow.
So what I'm saying is everything is online now. So file dispute, right? Start a new dispute. Once you start a new dispute, there's going to be columns, potentially negative accounts, personal information inquiries, etc., right? So what I mean by that is you're going to go to the personal information, scroll all the way down. You'll be surprised on what you see in there.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to see multiple names, addresses, etc. Your goal is to call in. Mm-hmm. Dispute line by line that this is inaccurate, it should not be there, or an unauthorized, etc. Or if identity theft, that's another story. But that's how I like to do. All right. But back to your question, I get lost.
No, this is good. No, but you're doing this. This is perfect. I want to unpack a lot of what you just said because you talked about different things that people hear mm-hmm. in the space versus what your experience is given the success you've had.
Yeah.
Tackling some of the different pieces of information and maybe even potential myths that people may be hearing.
Yeah.
One of the things I heard coming into the space, I'm sure you heard, in terms of different tactics and strategies to beat the e-Oscar system, mm-hmm. I heard about backdating dispute letters. So I asked from your experience, does backdating dispute letters, is that something that still works or is it not as effective as people think?
I mean, that's an old school method, mm-hmm. right? We used to do 2 weeks back.
So first explain to people why, like what the method is and why okay. it works. And then from there, talk
back, about it. Backdating your letters, which we don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. But backdating your letters, you know, they're governed by the FCRA, right? Mm-hmm. So they have 30 days to come up with a decision through that investigation, all right? Now, sometimes when you send the letter, the trick would be, hey, this letter was sent 2 weeks earlier. So now they only have 15 days
right.
to make that decision. So they're scrambling. They'll be like, okay, let's just delete it. Mm-hmm. And that was the old school method. Another old school method, I mean, sometimes it still works. Write a little coffee stain on there or mm-hmm. take a crayon or a crayon. I'm a Marine. We, you know, we eat crayons in the Marine Corps. Not. But look, what I'm saying is this, like mark it up to make it look like it's coming from an actual person. That's what I'm saying. You laugh.
I'm trying. I can't get it in my head. Sorry, focus, hey, focus. Lock it.
All right. Let's do it. But like what I'm saying is just mark it up to make it look like it's coming from an actual yeah. person. But that's the old school method. Like I said, we don't send letters anymore in our company, right? Because everything is moving online, all right? And obviously as a credit card owner, it saves postage. Now, if you are going to sue and everything like that, you're going to want to send these letters. Mm. Side note too, you know I keep rambling. The thing is that there's a lot of people who do pro se, a lot of people who do, and pro se is for people who actually sue the bureaus on the client's behalf, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I'm here to tell you, even they say credit repair is dying down. No, the thing is that even if you sue, it's not an overnight process.
Yep.
I have a client right now, I can't speak the details, but it's an identity theft mm-hmm. case, and it's going to take a year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's per lawyer, mm-hmm. right? And in this episode, I'm going to give you, per my lawyer's mouth, mm-hmm. on new ways to effectively dispute a bankruptcy, identity theft, et cetera. Mm. That's the main thing I want to give updated people because, as we said, credit repairs is shifting in our community's eyes, mm-hmm. all right? It's going more towards suing because mm-hmm. people want to actually sue. And I'm here to tell you, you can do that, but go through a lawyer. Mm. So we're partnered up with a lawyer across America that handles all these cases, and we're gonna talk more about that. But I feel like I keep going.
Like keep doing it. But now, so there's even more to unpack there.
Yeah.
Before we talk about what you talk about with the bankruptcy and the identity theft, you said something twice now. You said your company doesn't send out letters.
Yeah.
I know. I don't. You're probably one of the few companies I know that doesn't send letters. When did this start? Why do you not send out letters? And what have you seen in regard, or maybe some strategies that you use when it comes to that other people are watching can do the same? Because that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know how these Experian has their own upload sites where you can dispute through Experian.com/upload.
Yeah.
So you go there, you can draft a letter. You can still draft a letter, but you don't have to send it. You're sending it through the e-portal. You're sending it through their upload. So it could be a personal information or what have you, right? We do the personal information on the phone. Like, what credit repair company actually gets on the call? That's another thing, too. I pride myself on customer service, reputation, testimonials, and communication. I was in communications in the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm micromanaged on communication. When they come through, so we actually get on the three-way call with our clients. We meet ourselves and we give them a script to say so we can delete and correct the personal information. Mm-hmm. After that's done, secondaries are opt out and frozen and disputed. Then we go through uploading online the portals. Experian Upload. Equifax has one. It's myequifax.com.
Mm-hmm.
And these are free accounts, guys. You don't have to pay. Right? You don't have to pay for them. Service.transunion.com is another one, right? It's iffy. TransUnion don't really do it. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is, you know, go through their portals, upload the post, send through there, and then after you can go to the CFPB. So that's our big secret. We leverage the CFPB a lot.
Talk a little bit more about, because there are some people who may not even know what the CFPB is and also how to leverage it when it comes to getting their credit report clean. Can you talk a bit more about that?
Yeah. So the CFPB, you can go to Google and a Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. That's the only bureau, right, in the credit world, right? But you go there and submit a complaint. Now, how does this complaint work? They govern the credit reporting agencies, okay? The CFPB, for short, they govern the consumer reporting agencies. So when you bring it to their attention, they're supposed to be like big bad brother and be like, hey, you guys got to fix this. Are you doing what you say that he's claiming? Because, guys, when you send the letters or when you dispute with the credit reporting agencies, right, it's just all they're doing is say, okay, we'll take this and we'll drive it to the consumer, the furnisher, the creditor. That's why another reason is this. You guys are disputing to the credit reporting agencies, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. Go straight to the furnisher. Go straight to the creditor.
Mm-hmm.
That's old school credit repair, too. Mm. Cut the head off the snake, right? Because your quarrel is... Did I say that right?
A quarrel.
Your problem is with them.
There you go.
All right. Your problem. I had to go East Coast on them, but like your problem is with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you cut the head off the snake, metaphor speaking, that how do I say, the remedy and the outcome will be much faster, and you can bring it to CFPB's attention. And then, therefore, they'll get that either deletion, et cetera. But we mainly use the CFPB, which is online. Now, some people may say, hey, my complaint is getting shut down fast due to my IP address or due to, you know, like, but here's the thing. They have an address. They have a phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said last episode, you got to become an octopus when it comes to disputing, meaning you have to have different ways. We call in. We can send letters to if our online is not working, we'll send letters to if need be. You can go to social media, like we said last time.
Yeah.
Right. And like I said, again, if you guys are not using the social media dispute method that I coined and created, all right, and went viral for, right, then you're doing yourself a disservice. What is a social media disputing hack? Well, every company has a Twitter account, a Facebook, an Instagram account, whatever, right? You find an error on your report, you're basically disputing right on Twitter. You at the company, at card member service, at Bank of America, at whatever, you have violated my consumer rights, etc. Why am I saying this? This is a true story. This happened with me. Mm-hmm. And then in 30, when I posted that on my Twitter in 2021, their legal team reached out to me in my inbox and said, hey, this is the bank name, etc. And we're reaching out to you to see how we can service you or
fix the problem.
Fix the problem.
Yeah.
Why am I saying this? The thing is, does it work all the time? No, it's not going to work all the time.
Right.
But you guys are still sending letters. That costs money. Did you know that viral video that went viral on YouTube, it was saying there was bankers commenting in the comment section. I'm not going to say the names or banks, but it's like, this guy is on point. We have a special department in our, you know, disputing team to where we take those as priority, social media posts. Why? Because everything is social media now. It's everywhere. So what I'm saying is this, guys. That bar is worth the episode. Mic drop, right? That bar alone, if you start disputing on social media, you'll get your letters seen faster or heard faster. And if you have a following, even more, you know?
One of the things you said, let's circle back to it. You talked about now you're at a place where your approach to disputing is very different because you're talking about sending disputes online, leveraging the CFPB, social media disputes. But then you also talked about just now, and we brought it up to me off camera a bit, working with lawyers and how they're teaching you updated strategies on how to dispute. Talk to me a little bit about the partnership that you started to form with litigation and how that has kind of opened up a new layer of different strategies that not only you're using right now, but that the audience can use as well.
Yes. So a lot of people out there, you know, who are in the credit repair industry, they're starting to educate themselves, and you can do pro se and everything like that. However, I like peace of mind. I'd rather go to where a licensed lawyer, I partner up with a licensed lawyer who covers America. Now, there's new tactics, and like I said, the credit repair process and the disputing process is getting harder to get items deleted off of credit reports, even if they're inaccurate.
Boy, who you telling? It's real.
You know, so what do I think as a consumer, as an owner? My main goal is to help these people get the remedy. How am I going to do that? I go to these credit con events. And if you're a credit repair owner or you're in a funding business, you're not at credit con, you're not serious. Mm. I mean, you're dressing up like Spider-Man, you're going to Comic-Con, you know? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, but you're in the credit repair industry and you're not going to, you know, Credit Con or nothing like that, or, you know, these events. That's where you meet these lawyers. So that's where I met these lawyers. Partnered up with them. I sent them a couple clients. And I said, you know what? This is how it works. So there's a new method out there that nobody's talking about with this suing litigation, right? But specifically on the bankruptcy and identity theft we'll get to later. But for example, let's say a client has a bankruptcy, right? What we do in our company is, hey, Rico, how do you dispute a bankruptcy? We don't. Mm. We don't dispute bankruptcies. Why? The lawyer that I'm partnered up with, who handles all of America, knows Experian, TransUnion, Equifax, Counsel. Mm-hmm. They're in cahoots in a way, right? Mm-hmm. They do business. They go to lunch together. So they know the violations and they know what's the case law and what they sue for. So what happens is, the client will send us their report. I send that report to my lawyer. And if my lawyer sees that there's an inaccuracy attached to that bankruptcy, he'll say, hey, send them to us. And then with the client's permission, I'll send them to the lawyer. But what am I mean by this? Bankruptcies. All right. And I hope I'm answering your question.
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
But bankruptcies. A lot of people's like, I need to get this bankruptcy removed. I need to dispute this bankruptcy. How do you get it removed? You guys need to stop worrying about the bankruptcy and start worrying about the accounts attached to the bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people with 800 FICOs out there that have a bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. The bankruptcy doesn't weigh as much as the derogatories attached to it. So what people need to watch out for is in the comment section, if there's a balance attached with that bankruptcy, you have a case. Mm. In the comment section. Oh, that's another sauce too. Look, guys, how to reset a file. Look,
Just go.
5150, baby.
Let's go.
You know? In the comment section, if you ever, let's say we'll pick up a client that came from a previous credit repair company. Mm-hmm. How do you reset the file? It comes coming back as verified. Well, you want to avoid the verified? Call in to the credit reporting agencies, and the comments that says in the comment section, it'll say dispute resolved or anything like that. No, you want that erased too. To reset the file.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, when you call in and be like, you disagree with them. Disagree and be like, you know what? I do agree with the outcome, just so they can reset it and erase the comments. Sometimes that's a hindrance in funding as well. But the comment section needs to be wiped out clearly. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was a side note. But how to set the file. But back to what I was saying.
The bankruptcies.
All right, with the lawyer. So if usually with a bankruptcy, there's accounts attached to the bankruptcy, right?
Yep.
Derogatories. You guys should focus on the derogatories first before hitting the bankruptcy. But how does it work? So when the lawyer sees that there's an inaccuracy, which I just explained, if a balance is, it could be $1 and it's attached to the bankruptcy, that's a violation. And if the lawyer sees that, he's like, send it to me. And then within 60 to 90 days, he'll serve them, he'll sue them, them meaning Equifax or Experian, and he'll get a remedy, meaning a deletion and or possibly compensation for the client. And then that client comes back to us and comes to credit repair. So a lot of people in the credit repair industry are saying, oh, let's get rid of this bankruptcy. They'll use, it's not mine. But you're contradicting yourself. Because when you go back to dispute the accounts that's attached to the bankruptcy, they're going to be like, oh, this was included in the bankruptcy. Oh, wait, I thought the bankruptcy was not yours.
Yep.
Let's put that back on. You know what I mean? So now you're starting at square one. So you have to think strategically. And even in court, you know, a lot of people are doing the FTC method incorrectly. Listen, I'm for the FTC method.
Are you really?
And I'm going to tell you why.
Talk to me.
Yeah, this is controversial.
For people who don't know, explain what the FTC method is and then talk about
it. The Federal Trade Commission. The FTC method is using the identity theft method to get negative items deleted off of credit reports.
Right.
I'm for it, using it the right way. And what's the identity theft lawyer is what I'm saying. Now, other people are against it because there's a stigma in the credit repair industry that they use it for everything, right? Which, you know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm backing up and defending. Mm-hmm. What I'm backing up and defending is for true victims of identity theft, which I was.
Gotcha.
All right. Regardless of what people may think, there are a lot, and I'm talking about a lot of true identity theft victims out there.
Yep.
And that's why I'm trying to bring to the consumers, like, if you are a true victim of identity theft, right? A true victim, not saying you're, hey, let's file this FTC method, this identity theft, so we can get it removed. No, if you're a true victim of identity theft, text ID theft to 951-400-4352 so we can see and check your case and talk with my lawyer. Mm-hmm. All right. And then the same with BKs too, bankruptcies too. If you have a bankruptcy on your credit report, right, and you want my lawyer to check it out for free, we don't charge you.
Right.
All right. Text BK to 951-400-4352 and we'll send your report to the lawyer so we can assess to see if you're a great fit. All right. And that's no charge. You get with the lawyer, you get that remedy. And then when you're done with that remedy, you come back to us for credit repair. Now, there's a new, I know we're moving fast, right?
No, I'm with you.
But the thing is that per my lawyer's mouth, there's a new way. They're asking Rico, so how do you delete the bankruptcy? So I'm going to show you the newest way that nobody in the internet is talking about, except for my lawyer, and it's per my lawyer's mouth. All right. But if you have any questions, we'll drum roll with that later. You know, if you have any other questions.
I got you.
I feel like I'm it's just rambling.
No.
You know?
You go, bro. Okay, cool. We're locked in right now. Keep going.
You know, so, all right. So the new way that nobody's talking about for the bankruptcies to get removed is called motion to seal.
Say that again.
Okay. The new way to delete bankruptcies per my lawyer's mouth is called motion to seal. Mm. All right. What does that mean? For those who've ever been incarcerated, who've ever been in trouble with the law, there's ways that you can seal your records, seal your files. Okay. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to hit up your nearest or local best bankruptcy attorney.
Okay.
Bankruptcy attorney. and ask if they do motion to seal. Okay. What is motion to seal? Basically, this is what happens. If you go to the courts, and it's basically a privacy play, right? If you go to the courts with the bankruptcy lawyer and they do a motion to seal, what motion to seal is, they seal your records to where nobody can see them. Your background checks or nothing, they can't see that. So what happens is you get that remedy through a court and a document. You get a court document to where it says this bankruptcy has been motion and sealed. It was sealed. And then that document you can send to the credit reporting agencies. And they're supposed to take that off within 30 days. And if they don't, now you got a new violation that you can sue them for compensation. Mm. And you can sue them under 15 U.S.C. 1681I, the reinvestigation. So that's per my lawyer's mouth. That's the newest way to dispute and delete bankruptcies. The legal way, per my lawyer's mouth, is called motion to seal. And you never heard about that.
I have never. This is my first time hearing about this. This is good.
Yeah. And it's legal because it's per the lawyer. So I'm saying it with confidence, baby. You know?
I love it.
So
let me ask you this, because we've talked about a lot of different strategies. We've talked about social media. We've talked about leveraging attorneys, calling in different things to remove versus keep on a report. What are your thoughts on, because once upon a time, I heard that, like, let's say collections, for example.
Yeah.
People used to talk about using, like, the BBB complaints, where they would use, like, the BBB to complain on the collection company that was holding it to help expedite removing it. Is that a strategy that you've ever used? Is it effective? Is it not effective?
Yes, I've used that strategy, and it's effective.
Okay.
It's just like a social media.
Really?
It, think about it. It's the Better Business Bureau, right? But how many consumers know about or going on Better Business Bureau?
Not many.
A lot more are going on social media.
Right.
So basically, the social media disputing hack is the new BBB disputing. You know what I'm saying? You can still use BBB.
Mm-hmm.
But is it as effective as social media? I wouldn't think so, because social media is out there. It's just everywhere.
Right.
Right. So, yes, it can still work. It's just like Attorney General can work,
mm-hmm.
just like the CFPB. And the BBB, they all go, they coincide together.
What are your thoughts on CPNs?
Hell no.
Talk to me. Well, for those who don't know, explain what a CPN is. You said, okay. He said,
hey.
Because I've heard of them. I don't know, have any experience with them, but I know it's a very touchy subject. For those who don't know, explain what it is and then also share your thoughts on it.
Well, okay. From what I know, jail follows it.
That's all you need to know.
Hey, that's all you need. CPNs equals jail time.
Yeah.
That's all I know about it. And there's going to be other people. Oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. There's high worth, net worth individual who use CPNs. Okay, use it for them.
Mm-hmm.
All right? For you, you're going to jail. All right? Hell. All right? You know? No. I don't do CPNs. You shouldn't be doing CPNs. You should be building and fixing your credit the right way is what I'm saying. Had that foundation set, you know?
To date, what would you say is we're talking about a lot of the newest and most advanced ways to dispute. You talked about how in 2026, the year we're in now, there's people who are still sending out letters and they probably don't have to send out letters. Are there any other strategies you see being put out on social media where you're like, I don't know where y'all got that from, but that does not work?
I don't really pay attention to other people's. I don't really pay attention. I really don't. That's a good question. I don't see there's a hack out there. Unless
yeah,
it's
myths
like clickbait
or hacks where it's just like either it used to work and it doesn't work anymore.
I thought of one. Be wary.
Talk to me.
Of people say that I got someone who works in Equifax or I have someone who works in Experian. Bro, when I saw that, I'm like, cap. No. They may have worked there before, mm-hmm. and if you truly don't, you're not gonna know. You know, so be wary of people who are claiming things just to get come up on a quick buck on you. Real credit repair is not an overnight process. Do we get items deleted in 3 hours or 2 days or 7 days or 14 days? Sometimes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Majority, though. And people, and I like to, the people in the comments love to come after me about this. That's not true. I got my item deleted in 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What method did you use? Did you use the FTC method? Or was it just one item? Because the average person has multiple items. And the average person, because real credit repair is about changing habits.
Yeah.
your budgeting, etc. So the average lifespan, it could take 6 to 12 months, maybe more, maybe less, right? Congratulations that you got your item that you educated yourself. You got it fixed in however fast, right?
Yeah.
But the majority of people don't have the time, don't have the pleasure. They don't want to read the books. So that's why they hire credit bureau companies. A lot of credit bureau companies have a bad name because, one, they don't have a system in place. They don't have customer service. They don't have communication. And most of all, they don't have results the right way, mm-hmm. right? We have all of that, right? So be wary of the ones who are a one-man team or just pony tricks, right? Saying that they are partnered with someone inside Experian, Equifax, Experian. That's the only one I see. But I really don't pay attention because, you know, I like what's working in my company right now. And lawyers. Mm-hmm. Lawyers who are suing know, you know, I'm humble enough to learn from them too.
Yeah.
Because if I miss something, they can be my partners. Like, hey, did I miss something here? And they'll be like, yeah, you got something here, right? All right, thank you. That's why I partnered up with lawyers. So I want to give them a website to where you can actually partner up with a lawyer.
Let's
so
do
if
it.
You go to avvo.com, A-V-V-O.com, you can actually partner up with a lawyer there. Or you can go to Google and National Consumer Lawyers. They can go from there too and find your lawyer there.
So I think the reason, because you talked about one of the consistent themes you've told throughout this episode is you're giving strategies, but it always comes back to understand credit repair is not an overnight process, yes. right? It takes time. I think why people have a misconception about how long credit repair takes
yeah.
is tied to a lot of what's consumed on social media. You and me see it, the content yeah. where people are just like, let me show you how to get this collection off your credit report in the next 24 hours.
Well, that's marketing.
That is. But
a lot of you guys are, that's another thing too. If anybody's saying it doesn't take 6 to 12 months, they're capping. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they're only marketing the fast results they get for clients. I've done it too sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. That's how we pull clients in. And this is the real deal. Like, one client will be a different story.
Yeah.
You can have, listen, you can be a married couple with the same account.
Boy, I talk about
at
it.
At the same house.
Same account.
Sitting at the same time in certified mail.
Everything.
And one will get deleted and one will not.
Facts. They not hear you.
You know?
They not hear you.
But you guys going to understand that.
No.
And I'll fire a client quick.
Mm. When you say fire a client, meaning that if somebody is like, yo, why is it not happening soon? You'd be like, all right, no, this program isn't
No, meaning there's so many things, right? It really happens, but sometimes you get the knuckleheads to be like, why is it taking so long? He got it done faster or this than that. I said, listen, you were the best, okay? You know, you were the best. Chill out. And then, like, we deleted 279 inquiries. Take it upon yourself to learn a little bit about credit, how this works.
Right.
When we send in the disputes, right? Or how long the process takes. What you can do is build your credit in the meantime, right? Go to National Consumer Credit, mm-hmm. right? Code word Andrews, and build with the credit unions and the local banks while we're fixing your credit, right? Because that's another thing too. A lot of credit card companies, they don't build, they just delete, undispute and delete. Well, you as a consumer should be getting educated on how to build with the banks and or credit unions.
Right.
While we are disputing mm-hmm. for you. So how would building, well, relationships matter, right? I was in Navy Fed since I was, what, 2008? That's 16 years plus, right? But the thing is that deposit relationships work. Mm-hmm. On the business side, I have one I think is profound. I don't know if people talked about it. Maybe Stead did. I don't know. But you know how you can build a relationship with a business bank?
Right.
On the business funding side?
Yep.
Merchant accounts.
Talk about that.
Merchant accounts. So you're in the business funding.
Right.
Business banking, business yep. banks. They have a side where they have a business rep that reaches out to you. They try to get you to sign up for their merchant accounts. Mm-hmm. Why? Because if you're a real business,
got them deposits rolling through there.
You got the deposits rolling through there, and that's automatic data points and relationships. Mm-hmm. So, let's say you have a merchant account with PNC, merchant account with Chase, mm-hmm. that's a deposit relationship right there, which is far greater than even putting money into the bank and letting it sit there ACH-wise. Why? Because you're using their product.
consistently.
For and they see that you see cash flow.
Yep.
The three C's that rule this world. Cash flow,
mm-hmm.
credit, and collateral.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if they see that you have a cash flow using their deposit and they make a little bit of money, oh, they're going to flood you money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little business hack for you.
So you talked about the fact that most credit companies teach the repair process, but not a lot of them educate around the building process. And you talked about like starting to set a foundation with building relationships. How do you normally coach your clients around either while they're going through the repair process or after? Because I get this question all the time too, on the best steps to take when it comes to building their credit up to where it's strong by the time they come out of the repair process for them to start leveraging it. What does that look like?
So you have to know your avatar. You have to know your client. What I mean by that, is your client just wanting a house? Is your client just wanting a car? Or most in our industry want business funding?
Let's say they want funding.
Funding. Okay. Well, first, you have to have comparables on the personal side.
Okay.
All right. Everything is built off of your personal, unless you have cash flow. And my man Stedman said it great. Like, there's two ways to get funding. Good credit, personal credit, and or an actual cash flow business. You're That's making
it.
Cash.
That's it.
All right. Which still you want to fix your credit too.
Right, of course.
Right. Funding can't exist without us, credit repair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and credit building. So how does it look? Like I said, go to nationalconsumercredit.org, right? And you put in the code word Andrew so you can get into the credit union's ecosystem, the banks, iBankNet. You know, branch bank locator, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of those, and see what's in your local area. And if you haven't ran off on that bank,
hey boy,
because credit repair, we could do all the miracles we can,
mm-hmm.
right? But if that bank has an internal scoring system, which most likely they do, right? They're not gonna forget nothing. You're gonna have to pay that bank back in full to establish that relationship again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So say if we got this Chase removed for your credit report, and you go back to Chase, you're gonna be like, you have a charge off here. No, it's not. My credit report's clean. Yeah, but our internal score system says different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so building with the bank, with the secured loans hack that has been talked about,
right,
and or you know just using their products, the CD. Oh, there's a. I know Navy Federal has it. It's called the CD ladder.
What is that?
Okay, so CD accounts, certificate accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they have 6 month accounts, they have 1 year accounts. What you can do is leverage compound interest. We talk a real financial literacy.
But we here.
All right, yeah, Rico just don't do credit. We do financial literacy, baby. You know,
talk to me.
So leverage their products. The banks want to make money, but they want you to make money as well, so you right. can invest into them. Right? There's a saying: if you have $1 million lent out. You know you're a client,
mm-hmm.
but if you have $100 million lent out, you're a partner.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I know you know what I'm talking about. So the thing is that they want to see you get rich, so they can make money too, right? They want to be partners. So the CD ladder, you can YouTube, you can Google it, is leveraging a lot of CD accounts, the certificate accounts. Let's say you put $500 or $1,000, that's going to compound interest at 4%.
Mm-hmm.
Which is way better than the savings they give in banks, 0.002, I guess it is in the banks. So if you put $1,000 for 6 months and it grows at an APY at, 3 or 4%,
mm-hmm.
the other one, you put it, that's a year long, you put it another 1,000 and it grows at another 3%. You're stacking the ladder.
Yeah.
And the interest you make off of that, you can either reinvest it,
mm-hmm.
right? Or you see your compound interest, your growth
mm-hmm.
in that. So now you're using the banks to grow your cash and your wealth. Let's take it a step further. I like the Fidelity credit card.
Right? Okay.
It's 2% cash back. Here's how you could become a millionaire using the Fidelity or 2% cash back credit card. Open a brokerage account. You can open two accounts. One account with Fidelity. They have that credit card. The green credit card is 2%. Now you have to fix your credit. If you don't have your credit fixed, you got to text repair to 951-400-4352. All right. But look, in order to apply for that, you have to have a 720 or 750, right? So open up a individual brokerage account with Fidelity. and a brokerage account, you guys who are into stocks, et cetera, options, you guys know what I'm talking about. And then you have an individual account. Now, that brokerage account, you want to put some money into it, right? But once you have some money sent into it, say $100 or $1,000 or maybe 50, whatever have you, I don't know what your financial situation is, let that in there. Now, okay, the credit card that you get approved for, let's say my Fidelity credit card was 20K at mm-hmm. the time, mm-hmm. years ago. If I swipe 20K on ads, or if I swipe 20K on whatever to bring an ROI back, and I'm getting 2% cash back, that's a pretty good.
Pretty, very good.
Right?
Yeah.
What do I do with that money? Okay. I'm not a financial advisor.
Okay.
Right? But I read a lot about the intelligent, Benjamin Graham, intelligent investor, Warren Buffett, and they all say one thing, index funds. Okay? You're going to want to go to ticker symbol VOO. Mm-hmm. And put your money there and set it and forget it. Compound interest, right? That I don't know. You can literally become a millionaire off of one credit card, using the credit card correctly and using your money correctly to invest into index funds so it can compound interest from there. Now you're setting your family legacy up, right? Mm-hmm. You're swiping every day on goods. The cashback you get from there is going to be automatically deposited. I got an email every month. Deposit receive, boom. And then that deposit receive, you put into the ticker symbols like Amazon too.
Yeah.
Or Fidelity has their own index fund to where they don't charge zero fees. You know, because fees will eat you up too.
Facts.
So compound interest, guys, is one of the wonders of the world, Einstein said. And now we're talking money, right? Mm-hmm. Compound interest. If you use your money and you put it into these stocks off of a credit card, now you can say, I got rich off of credit for real. You know?
Now we're talking about the game of leverage. What's interesting about this is it's almost like you're painting this roadmap of like, all right, this is what it looks like to repair the credit. This is what it looks like to build the credit. Yep. Now you're talking about leveraging it. For you, you talked about this one strategy. If I'm not mistaken, you've also gone about leveraging your personal credit to invest in real estate as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Talk a bit about that.
True story. So it's on my YouTube channel to where I bought my Section 8 rental property mm-hmm. with a business credit card. So funny story is that, you know, I invested to a mentor, obviously, to where they showed why Section 8 rentals are better than Bitcoin and all those other things. Why? Because you're getting paid by the government. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens if the government shut down? Then it's civil war. Mm-hmm. All right? Dinosaurs are coming. That's never going to happen. All right? So it's a guaranteed check, you know, if they're vetted correctly, et cetera. You got to vet them correctly, check their background history, et cetera, right? But the government program is a lot of – they have to mandatory pay out funds. Mm-hmm. And there's no shortage in Section 8, mm-hmm. right? We live in a different world to where it's like, oh, we live in abundance and everything like that. But there's lines and lines out there that people who unfortunately are in the poverty level to where they have to apply for Section 8. Now, I was on Section 8 when growing up. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. The thing is that you have a guarantee. As an investor, you have a guarantee that it comes in every month. Now, you have to do your numbers, right? But usually, like say my property is in Cleveland, Ohio. Okay. Why? Because the property that I bought it for, it was the purchase price, rent ready, 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath, detached garage and everything, $75,000. I'm like, wow, that's cheap. Well, when I was younger, there's a game called Monopoly that I would get frustrated and lose that because I didn't understand. But now I do. Buy the little greenhouses.
Yep.
To one day you buy a hotel, right? And then keep on going, right? So we stock in greenhouses. How do you stock that? We playing real Monopoly. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's why it's important to understand once you build your credit, what are you going to do with it? A lot of people are teaching funding. A lot of people are teaching credit repair, but they're not teaching what to do with the money. Mm-hmm. I just gave you one. Play with the stocks.
Crazy.
From home. And now it goes stocks and real estate. My boy Wall Street Trapper says it mm-hmm. the best too. Like he's crazy in that world, right? Real estate too. The offset, the tax, et cetera. So how did I buy it? Okay, so there's something called a DSCR loan, right? Mm-hmm. The SCR loan to where, I forgot the specifics, but basically you don't have to have taxes. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have barely, well, you do have to have a 720. That's why in the real estate world, if you get it past a 720, you're good. Mm. All right. 800 is, you don't have to, it's 720 and above, but to get the best rates, interest mm-hmm. rates. But, and that's why fixing your credit is important. Mm-hmm. But the DSCR loan is somebody who didn't have taxes. I didn't have taxes at the time, but I wanted to invest. So it's called a hard money loan. Mm-hmm. So for investment properties, you want to put 20% down. Mm-hmm. What's 20% of 75? 16,000. You and I both know we can get a credit card, one credit card, we can get 25, 50K, 75 off of one credit card and liquidate it, right? So what I did was I liquidated credit cards. That one credit card was, I liquidated 16,000 closing costs. It came to about 20K. I liquidated that credit card, business credit card. It doesn't report to your personal. Mm-hmm. And I put the 20% down because that's all you need. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, but I was a first time investor. It was with a lender called Kiavi, Kiavi.com. Right. And they were showing love until like they said, look, you have no experience. This project seems too risky. We're going to back out. I had 45 days on the close, right? And I had 15 days left to close. Mm-hmm. It was a 45-day close. I'm like, you guys just pulled out. I only have 20% down. How am I going to buy this property? Nobody would back me up because I had no taxes, no nothing. So what I did was I leveraged more credit cards.
Okay.
I liquidated the rest of the 75K and I bought the house cash. Okay. Mm. Bought the house cash. I got the deed to the house, etc. I went back to another lender. This is the greatest MS play of all time. I went back to another lender. It was Lima One Capital.
Okay. I've heard of this company.
Yeah. 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 Okay. All right. But I said, hey, do I have experience now? Mm-hmm. To say, yes, you do, sir. Mm. So I said, good. I want to put a loan on the house now. It's called delay financing mm-hmm. in the real estate world. So they paid me $52,000 mm-hmm. at the closing table. I paid that credit card off after. So all in, essentially, I went only 20K. And now I have a recurring revenue, which the house is going up in value. The rent is going up with Section 8, et cetera.
All from the game of credit.
And now you can, from the game of credit, now you can use the equity in that house and rinse and repeat. Buy another house. Turn 2 to a 4, 4 to an 8.
Turn my life into a nice first week release date. Come on, brother. No, this is, man. And once again, just.
And that's real generational wealth.
Literally.
Sorry to cut you off, but like, that's really leveraging credit into assets. Now, yeah, it's going to take, but that's one property. Okay, you stack them up, or you can do the same thing with big properties too, mm-hmm. with big deals or businesses, buying businesses. Listen, and shout out to Herman too. I was just on his podcast the other day that the thing is that he's saying, look, it's getting scary out there.
Yo.
No disrespect to the 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. But AI is taking over your job. You have to be smart and get into the game of entrepreneurship mm-hmm. and leverage this and buy as many assets as you can.
Right now, there are more individuals who are unemployed than there are available jobs in the country.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then you want to blame somebody? No, blame yourself. Get educated. And we say it in Cuban, ponte pa la pila.
What? Say it again?
Ponte pa la pila, you know, like, you know, get to work, you know, get to stepping.
Okay.
You know? You know,
right? Justin, have you ever heard ponte pa la pila? Say it again? Ponte pa la pila.
Yeah, like get to stepping. Get in step. Come on. Get your stuff, you know, ready because it's time. It's time. With this AI, is going crazy. So you need to educate yourself and find something that you're interested in. Make money online mm-hmm. and stop depending on the government. Stop depending on jobs to save your life because it's not you're the only one that can do that, you know?
What are the, for you, because this has been such a powerful episode, bro. I'm so excited for the people to get this. you talked about just the power of entrepreneurship. We talked about the power of credit, and then, of course, you started talking about the power of entrepreneurship. For you personally, what are the top three moves that you've made that have had the biggest impact in your entrepreneurial journey?
To be real with you, networking is number one.
Okay.
Going, you know, networking with you, another heavy hitters in the industry. Mm-hmm. That's one, because you never know what you don't know, right? So the unknown unknowns, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we could be stubborn in our entrepreneur journey. We think we know it all until somebody brings perspective and experience to your life to where it's like, well, I see what you're saying. Why don't you look at it like this, you know? Like one of my best bros, Dub Washington, he's like my bro, right? My Shout dog. Out to Dub, my right? Dog. We talk every day. We know each other's kids and everything like that. So it's like iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
But three power moves. I would say investing into yourself too. Mm-hmm. And three, God and family. Well, that should have been number one. Mm. To be honest with you. And before this episode, didn't we pray?
We did. First time I've ever had a guest come on here and pray. I usually pray over the episode, but Josh was the first guest we've ever had in over 120 plus episodes that prayed over the episode, which is incredible. Yeah.
It's because it's just, and I hate to go spiritual, but like, it's just, you know, with the things that I've been going through, personally, you know about too, is that when you find God, it's like things start changing.
That's it.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, so that I would say that would be number one.
So at this point in your entrepreneurial journey, what would you say is your North Star? What are you chasing? What's the big goal, big audacious goal that you're trying to accomplish?
Trying to accomplish, honestly, health, wealth, love, happiness. Like my boy Ty said, it's like it's health. I want my health right. Love, wealth, and happiness just all around for myself and my family. Right. Families. I'm big on family. You know, you can remember me to family. And then obviously impacting, you know, my clients, changing their lives through whether it's credit and or financial literacy. It's really simple, you know, but I hope that I answered that right.
More than answer that. I know we got to get you out of here as we start to close. My final question for you, if sitting where you are, Joshua, 10 years into the future, dropped in right now, and he could share one piece of advice with you, what do you think he would say? Josh is a smooth talker. So the second you ask him a question, you got to think about it. Yeah, I know I got him. This is good.
Trust in God more.
That's it.
I think I said something similar to the last episode, but like, or... Just follow God more. And that's the truth.
That's all you need.
Because you and I both, nobody perfect, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing is that somebody will say, yeah, stay with God. But our flesh, we talking. Our flesh is different.
I'm with you. Go ahead.
You know? And sometimes the soul is willing, but the flesh is not.
100%.
And for those of you who don't get what I'm talking about, you know, pick up the Bible.
Yeah, get in your word.
You got to get in the Bible, which I need to do too. But that's why I have students around me. I have good people around me. Like Dub is another one too. Like people around me who speak the word. And my wife, huge. And, you know, especially with what I went through, you know, with my daughter and everything like that, with surgery and everything. I had trust in God so much to where it's like, that's the first time I really known him like this. I would talk about it, you know, come up with a Baptist church, you know.
So it's like you around it, but you're not really in it for real. Exactly. Until you go through these experiences.
You go through it, it's just like, and then it's sad to say, people only run to God when something bad happens.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it's true. But try running to God when it's not, that's what I want to work on more, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. Well, I know we got to get you out of here, my brother, before we do your camera here. You've actually had like three shameless plugs for lawyers, credit card, everything. But of course, want to give you one more opportunity. Your camera here, let the people know where they can find you, how they can get connected with you, and most importantly, what you have going on.
For sure. Well, you already know, you got to like and subscribe to the YouTube channel, Joshua Rico.
Yeah.
I'm on Joshua Rico for Instagram, Joshua Rico SR. Stead did it too, so I'm gonna do it too. LinkedIn, Joshua Rico, Snapchat, everywhere, Google, whatever, Pinterest, it's Joshua Rico, all right? And if you need your credit repair, text repair to 951-400-4352. Or if you have a bankruptcy, right, if you want a lawyer to take a look, text BK to 951-400-4352. And most of all, if you're a true victim of identity theft, text identity theft to 951-400-4352 and get in contact with us. And we'll, you know, stay tuned because a lot of, look, okay, everybody, I'm talking about the new cats, the old cats, all of them are asking for a mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a mentorship, guys.
At least not yet.
At least not yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the more comments or texts I get about mentorship, I might be open to doing something.
You might think about it.
I might think about it because I'm just really want to serve on the people. But I've been in this game for
a long time,
I'm talking about a long time. To where it's like, okay, for those who want to learn about the credit repair dispute mastery or credit repair business. Oh, another thing, I'm going to be speaking on. Okay. What I got going, man?
Talk to it.
All right. Justin, you hit it today. I'm going to be speaking live on stage at the Credit Repair Cloud Expo. In Dallas, Texas.
What is it? When is this happening?
April 24th to 26th.
Bro.
Thank you.
Congratulations. It's huge.
It's huge. And I'm going to be dropping again. I hope to see you there. And that's what I got going, bro.
I love it. Well, my brother, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
I already know this one's going to go crazy. So part three is going to come. Maybe it seems like January is the month for us. So maybe same time next year.
Isn't that Rick?
Yeah, we got to do something in the summer. Matter of fact, I'll just come out to you. We'll go ahead and make something happen. Yeah.
Cali, you going to come to Cali?
I got to come to Cali, dog.
Cali.
I got to come out there because it's too much ice and slush. I can't keep having you out here. So I'm going to come out to Cali. We'll do part three the same time next year, bro. And I'm excited to have you.
I appreciate it.
My dog.
Thank you.
And I'm excited for each and every single one of you guys. And if you haven't already, my goodness, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now to go ahead, subscribe to the channel, show the episode some love. But most importantly, get tapped in and wrapped in with any and all things that my guy, Joshua Rico, has going on. He gave you the numbers. He gave you the words. Text them as soon as possible to make sure that you're in position to get your credit where it needs to be and do so much more. But as always, ladies and gentlemen, you know who I am. I'm your host with the most, Marvin Francois. And that is the always incredible, never indelible Joshua Rico. You guys have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you all. God bless. And until next time, peace.
Peace.